Are you someone who loves Christmas to the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it's now January 15th? If you answered yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I. And this show is for you.
Hi, I'm Dot Cannon, also known as Noella Noelophile.
And welcome to my Noelophile podcast. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular.
I snatched the golden red star, always front and center on the tree. It was an ancient thing, older than the house. When I was younger, the ornaments always showed their stories. They weren't animated or anything quite like that. If one were to watch carefully enough, though, they would see pictures start to form in contours.
Tis the season for a great Christmas story, and that is exactly what author and artist Ellie Lieberman has created with her short story, The Memory Tree. Magic and memories swirl around Christmas Eve, shared by a grandmother and granddaughter. Meanwhile, as an artist, Ellie continues the enchantment with her handcrafted Christmas ornaments and other magical things available through her small business, Acorn Tops. And she just may be crafting something special to go along with the memory tree for Christmas season 2020. Ellie, how did you first get inspired with your Christmas story, The Memory Tree?
Well, The Memory Tree was first published in the Enchanting Yuletide Anthology in November 2017. And in order for a short story to be in that anthology, it had to be about the winter holidays, and it had to include magic of some sort. And at first, I was really struggling with an idea, and I had one, but it didn't exactly work out, and I remembered my family's tradition of giving ornaments each Christmas. And one thing led to another, and I came out with The Memory Tree.
I love that tradition. You actually published that at the very beginning of The Memory Tree, and it might be something people really want to adopt for this Christmas 2020.
I highly recommend it. A very fun tradition we have.
I want to know more about that as we go on, but what was the creative process like for you? You remembered the memory tree tradition where you put up the ornaments, and what happened from there as you wrote your story?
Well, I, at the time, had just finished reading The Illustrated Man by Ray Bradbury, which is an incredible collection of short stories that are all tied together because each story is featured on the tattoos of one of the characters. And so the creative process was I started with the one ornament that we hang first on our tree every year, which was my grandmother's ornament. And from there, the characters just sort of started talking to me, and I had the idea of using other ornaments too. And actually, each of the ornaments that show up in the memory tree are ornaments that are on my own tree.
What an interesting contrast in perspective between the way the grandmother sees what's happening and the way the granddaughter sees it. What can you tell me about each one's perspective?
Well, I think that's a very good question. The difference in perspective, I think, comes from their own personal experience. I think the granddaughter in particular, her view of the world tends to be colored not only by her grandmother's stories, but by her education in public education. I think school had a huge influence on her, and she talks about the fact that while she was not particularly fond of the institution, it still impacted her greatly in her perspective. And I think for the grandmother, I don't think she ever lost the childlike wonder that comes with the holidays.
She is absolutely magical. Well, we have a choice here. I could either ask you to tell me what's happening in the memory tree or ask you to pick up the book and just read to me. I know what I'd prefer, but what would you prefer?
I am good with either. Which one would you prefer?
I'd rather hear you read. It's an awful waste to have you here and not have you read from your story. Would you choose a favorite scene and read it, please?
Oh, my favorite scene. That's hard. Did you have a favorite scene?
Well, I like The Silver Bell, but maybe to preface that, I should just ask you to tell me about what's going on before we get to that scene. What's going on in the book in general? When people pick up The Memory Tree, what kind of a story are they going to be reading?
The memory tree itself is about a collection of old ornaments that come alive to aid a grandmother on her last Christmas Eve night in telling family stories and imparting her final wisdom to her granddaughter.
Which she does in a very magical and special way. And yes, I did like the Silver Bell story, but again, this is up to you because I love this book.
Maybe I will just read the first couple of pages. It was said that Crooked Old Shack grew with the trees of the woods that surrounded it. My great-great-grandfather wrote his dreams for a glorious home full of riches on a piece of paper and planted it with the rest of the seeds he brought with him from the old country. All summer and all spring, he tended to the plot, but it wasn't until one cold and miserable December night that the funny-looking shack sprouted before his eyes. His writing couldn't have been very good, my grandmother always joked. The stories always held a certain type of magic until I entered school. Suddenly, my grandmother and her words became less tangible, more impossible. I stopped asking to hear those tales, but she never stopped telling them, not even when she was in the hospital. Leave it to school to firmly plant my feet on the ground while my grandmother kept trying to lift my head back to the clouds. Generations have lived in that home, generations have told these stories, and generations have watched them unfold before their eyes, myself included, a fact my grandmother always loved to remind me. But how can we believe the eyes of a child? They are the only eyes you should believe, she always argued. The flaming fireplace offered warmth to combat the whistling wind rocking the wooden foundation the way a mother would a cradle. The branches of the pine took up at least half the living room. No matter where or how someone turned, the bristles seemed to grab at clothes and pinch at skin. It always drew people in. I snatched the golden red star, always front and center on the tree. It was an ancient thing, older than the house. When I was younger, the ornaments always showed their stories. They weren't animated or anything quite like that. If one were to watch carefully enough, though, they would see pictures start to form in the contours. In my hand, the glitter did nothing. The star didn't even seem to sparkle the way it had when I was younger. Huh. It wasn't disappointment so much as reassuring myself. Just a trick of light and willingness to believe, I guess. You can't expect it to perform if you stop believing, Grandmother explained, leaning on the doorframe. I wasn't sure what bothered me more, her insistence on these tales or stubbornness in ignoring doctor's orders.
Wow.
How was that?
That was fantastic. Ellie Lieberman, author of The Memory Tree and multiple other books that I'd highly recommend. Before we continue, where can people find out more about your books and where can they find out about your art you're creating?
My books are available on Amazon. And they're also available through Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and Walmart. And you can find both signed copies of my books and my artwork through my Etsy shop. I'm also on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram as well under either my business name, Acorn Tops, or my name, Ellie Lieberman.
And speaking of Acorn Tops, you have some very magical things you create, which we'll take a look at in a moment. I'm interested, though, you've done something with the memory tree that you also did in your first book, Society's Foundlings, which is tell the story in the first person. How'd you come to make that creative choice?
I can't say that I actually made that choice. When it comes to writing the stories, I write what comes, and it just so happened to be first person. The characters like it.
You take us inside the character's head and you make us the granddaughter, which makes us see what's happening for her. You have a great blog post about characters and free will, and that makes me curious because I've spoken to another author who also says the characters come to her. Has there been a time, especially with the memory tree, that maybe the characters surprised you, did something you really weren't quite planning on?
For the memory tree, a lot of the stories I wasn't actually planning on. The Silver Bell, you mentioned you like that one. The Silver Bell ornament is actually a baby's first ornament. That is what inspired that one. And I happened to listen to some stories my boyfriend's grandmother was actually telling me about World War II and a timeline in terms of someone who was born in relation to when Pearl Harbor happened. And suddenly that combined with just what the characters were telling me just sort of clicked in place. And it wound up also being inspired by A Wonderful Life, Every Time a Bell Rings, an Angel Gets Its Wings. And I wasn't expecting that one at all, and it just kind of happened. And I can't really say that I planned for anything in terms of the memory tree. The first pages that I read actually came to me after a shift. I was working at a grocery store at the time, and I was waiting to be picked up to go home, and it just hit. So I took out my phone and started writing, and I tend to not plan my writing. We call ourselves pantsers because we fly by the seat of our pants.
I love that term. But as a pantser, you are always prepared, though. You have something on which you can write, as the message I'm getting.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Whether it's phones or napkins. I think at one point I was at an event selling my artwork, and I couldn't find anything to write on, so I just wrote on my arm, and my entire arm was covered from elbow to wrist in just writing.
Oh, I love that. At one point, you have your narrator saying, "There's more to life than stories, grandmother," and her grandmother corrects her with the truth that I think is your truth. How'd you come to realize what the grandmother says? Life is stories.
That is another phenomenal question. You ask such amazing questions. How did I come to realize that? I think it's just a personal truth for me that life is stories. I grew up hearing about family stories. My grandparents passed away when I was 6 years old, but I still feel so very close to them, and they are still so much alive for me because my mom kept telling the stories and kept traditions alive, like giving ornaments for Christmas. And I think if you're a writer too, you tend to feel that life is stories. I mean, every second of every moment is a story in and of itself, I think.
And storytelling is one of the most magical things you can do.
Oh, yeah.
I had wondered what first gave you your sense of magic. I think if I said who, you would say your mom, but what specifically?
Oh, man.
I don't mean to be putting you on the spot.
Oh, no, it's very thought-provoking. What exactly? It's, in terms of Christmas, the entire holiday was just one filled with magic, and my mom worked so very hard for the holidays to be magical. It didn't matter what else was going on. You know, she was sick, we struggled with finances, but everything was okay because we had Christmas, and she kept it so magical no matter what else happened. I mean, my brother and I believed in Santa far past any of our friends and well into our teens, actually. She was in a wheelchair for 8 years, and what she would do to keep us believing in Santa Claus was, we had the Christmas tree in our family room, which had a step down, and she could not get into the family room without any assistance, or so we thought. So what she would do is Christmas Eve, she would take bags full of presents, wheel herself to the edge, push herself down out of her chair, crawl, essentially. She would make her way across the floor of the family room, put the presents under the tree, force herself crawling back to the edge of the step, push herself back up into her chair, and wheel back to her room or to wake Ben and I up. And, I mean, the length she went just to keep us believing, just to give us something magical to believe in, is just incredible. And I think when we learned that, too, the magic never really went away, whether it was what you do for people you love or the idea of giving, things like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am sitting here with my mouth open. I knew your mom was an amazing woman. I know she's magical. I didn't know just to what extent that magic went.
Oh, yeah.
We have some people listening this year especially that will have experienced some, I guess we just have to say, some pretty bleak times with the pandemic, with a lot of uncertainty. What tips do you give to anyone for staying magical amid challenging times like now?
I would say the way to keep things magical sometimes is just in the small everyday things you do. Also, the idea that things are difficult right now and things, traditions might have to change, but you can still keep the magic alive within it. You know, maybe instead of going out to a bakery to get your Christmas cookies, you make them at home. Play around with the recipes, make it fun. It's those little things that keep the magic alive. Also, I know a lot of families are struggling right now with money and things like that, and especially accessibility in getting gifts. And I remember there being years, and my mom did this for us, and we did this for her too, actually, where we made a list of, if we had all the money in the world, this is what I would give you. And it was the idea of the intention of it, you know, the idea that I don't have the money to do this for you, but this is what I would like to do for you. And that was really big, too. I mean, just knowing is sometimes magic enough. Does that make sense?
That more than makes sense. That could become a Christmas tradition for people listening, because I love that one. If I had all the money in the world, I would give you, my brain is racing with what I would give people I love now that you said that.
Oh, also, don't underestimate the magic of handmade items. Some of the best gifts by far are the ones you make, even if it's, you know, just a dozen of a person's favorite cookie. You know, the handmade stuff means a lot too.
Speaking of which, you craft some very magical handmade items. I wish you would tell me what you're making, both to go along with your story, the memory tree, and what you're going to have as an artist for Christmas 2020.
Well, I'm glad you asked. For the memory tree, I am very excited for some of my book swag. I am going to be making ornaments inspired by the red and gold star that inspired the story and show up in the story. I'm also hoping to do some gift sets as well that would probably feature the signed copy of the book, the ornament, some of the scented holiday trees I do, as well as mug huggers. And outside of book-related items, Acorn Tops focuses on fairy and scented creations to enchant your world and bring magic into your everyday. And I have a line of a collection that I'm working on. One in particular is geared toward the longest night of the year. So it's all stuff related around nighttime or night sky or stars. And then on top of that, I will have general winter stuff that I make, including fairy doors, fairy houses. I always have my ornaments up, stuff like that. And of course, my scented trees, which are now coming in three different scents. They used to only be in winter cheer, which is a combination of cinnamon, clove, cranberry, orange, and vanilla, which I will still have those, but I am also doing trees this year in chocolate mint scent as well as pine.
Ooh. Well, I want one of those ornaments that's based on the longest night of the year. Where can people see these? You mentioned an Etsy store. Is there also a main Acorn Tops website?
There is also a main Acorn Tops website. It is www.acorntops.weebly.com. That is acorntops.weebly.com. Some of my creations right now can also be found in a shop in Burbank, California called Geeky Tees. And there I have some of my geekier ornaments, as well as mug huggers that pair very well with their delicious teas and some of my scented bookmarks.
And Geeky Teas is a small business and I think independent business, is that not correct?
Absolutely, they are. And they have amazing things. I cannot recommend them enough.
Let's give a gift before we wrap up to anybody who's a creative who maybe hasn't had that much encouragement. What would you say to, let's say, an artist who's told, oh, you're not following the rules, or maybe a writer who gets a C in creative writing, or anybody who does something creative and is told, you don't have the talent, go do something else? What would you say to the person in that situation?
I would say, do not listen to them, which is easier said than done. I know very well, but I would say that there are no rules. One of the lessons I've learned through my handmade business and my writing is to take what anybody says with a grain of salt, take what works for you, leave what doesn't, and that you are very creative and your artwork is absolutely amazing, and not to listen to those voices, whether it's somebody else or that voice in the back of your head telling you you're wrong, because you're not.
Ellie, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.
You and I have been listening to author and artist Ellie Lieberman. Check out Ellie's webpage, ellielieberman.weebly.com, to order a signed copy of her Christmas book, The Memory Tree. You can also find Enchanting Yuletide, the multi-author anthology in which The Memory Tree first appeared, on Amazon, along with Ellie's children's books and young adult fiction. And be sure to go to acorntops.weebly.com for a look at her handcrafted Christmas decor, scented pillows, and other magical creations. That's acorntops.weebly.com. And that concludes this edition of Noella File. Thank you for listening, and may your Christmas season be sparkly, memorable, and never lose its magic.